With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Biden will push the case for his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan in the usual GOP stronghold state of Louisiana. The president visiting Lake Charles today. Republican Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana calls Mr. Biden's plan a budget-busting tax hike. Florida's governor signing into law a sweeping elections bill. Ben Thomas reports.
Under the new rules, ballot drop boxes must be supervised and would only be available when elections offices and early voting sites are open. To protect against so-called ballot harvesting, an electoral Good Samaritan can only collect and return the ballots of immediate family and no more than two from unrelated people. The law extends a no-influence zone to 150 feet around polling places, and election officials would have to let candidates and other observers witness some key election night moments in the ballot handling process. Violations could prompt hefty fines. I'm Ben Thomas.
Also at SRNNews.com, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is regaining some of his popularity among GOP voters. Correspondent Bob Agnew with that story.
There's good news for McConnell in a new Politico Morning Consult survey. It indicates the Kentucky Republican enjoys 42% support compared to just 30% back in February. At the time, McConnell was embroiled in a war of words with former President Trump, who had blasted the Republican leader as being dedicated to status quo policies and possessing what Mr. Trump called a lack of political insight, wisdom, skill, and personality. Still, no Republicans have heeded Trump's call to replace McConnell as their leader in the U.S. Senate. Bob Agnew reporting.
Authorities say a shooting in an eastern Idaho middle school injuring two students and a custodian, a male student, taken into custody. The victim's injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. The Dow is ahead 142 points, but the NASDAQ is down 60. This is SRN News.
For your Thursday afternoon, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, high 81. Tonight will start out mostly cloudy with gradually clearing skies, low 59. Friday, sunny and breezy, high 82. Friday night, clear and cool with a low down to 48. Saturday will start the weekend sunny, high 80. And Sunday on Mother's Day, another pretty day, sunny, high 86.
Hello, this is Steve Gregg from the Narrow Path radio broadcast. We're a live broadcast each weekday afternoon, and we try to answer every Bible question people call in and ask on the air. Sometimes it's very interesting. We get all kinds of questions, including whatever ones are on your mind if you call in. Join us each weekday at the Narrow Path.
Tune in to the Narrow Path with Steve Gregg every weekday at 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. here on WTRJ, The Truth.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. It is Doug McCary of His Light Ministries, and it is Thursday, we're in May. Golly, I can't believe it is already May 6th. It's after Cinco de Mayo. We have a good friend of mine, a guy who is no stranger to SWAT, Congressman John Rutherford. And we go back to when I was an FBI agent. He was a sheriff is when I first met him. And he's now in his third term, right?
Third term.
And recently got put on the House Ethics Committee.
Yes.
Which I'm glad. Boy, there needs to be some ethics up there. Not to get judgmental, but I am so glad that they've got you there. You're also, I think, on military construction or whatever bases.
Yeah,
or something.
I'm on three appropriations subcommittees: MILCON, Military Construction and Veteran Affairs, THUD, Transportation, Housing, Urban Development, and of course, Homeland Security.
And the VA, I am so thankful under the last administration that they were able to do. They've made a lot of changes, and it's
absolutely.
It's like a different organization. Still,
right.
Room for improvement, but it is a night and day from what it was 7-8 years ago.
It absolutely is. The Veterans Accountability Act made a tremendous difference. The Mission Act made a huge difference. And Veterans Armed for Success.
Yeah.
We got that through.
Yeah, well,
President Trump signed that into law, and now Operation New Uniform, which is a local group, I patterned this statue after them.
Uh-huh.
And we now help veterans, our military personnel, as they are transitioning out through the TAPS program, the Transition Assistance Program, they going out looking for jobs. We help them through ONU. ONU helps them get jobs, and they have tremendous success,
which is great. Because
problem is they don't have enough money.
Well, that's
so now we're working on that.
It's a tough transition sometimes out of the military.
It is,
and so I really appreciate that. The other thing we have in common is I was an FBI agent. He went through the FBI National Academy.
Right,
and that was back when the FBI had some integrity. I don't know.
Yes.
And I do want to say
it breaks
this.
My heart.
Well, it does. By and large, a lot of the field agents are
guys. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm really disappointed, just to be candid with you, with the leadership. Because it has been very politicized, like DOJ and everything else, and so
like the IRS.
Yeah,
it was weaponized,
and now even apparently the CIA is. I don't know if you saw that ad. We talked about that yesterday. But anyway, we are so glad to have you here because I want to talk to you. I have not had you on since the big brouhaha in Washington, January 6th, which was a big thing in our country. The media has given a lot of narratives. A lot of people talk about the insurrection that happened there. And, a lot of people who had legitimate legislative concerns about the election of 2020, including you,
absolutely.
And had a right to be concerned because there were things that happened that were not right legislatively. The state legislatures are the ones that determine the electorates. And a lot of those...
They will be selected.
Yes, how they will be selected. In Pennsylvania, in Arizona, and other places, there were things that went on that should have been investigated that caused pause. And you were basically labeled an insurrectionist if you thought that you shouldn't have counted those electorates or at least examined them and had a redo. And I want to read you something just to get your take on it. There's a U.S. code. This is a law, a federal law.
Right.
Yeah.
Title three
that says upon such reading of any such certificate or paper, the president of the Senate shall call for objections, talking about the electoral college votes, if any, but the two houses concurrently may reject the vote or votes when they agree that such votes or votes have been so regularly given.
Have not been.
Yeah, I'm
That's
sorry.
The key.
Yeah.
Not been.
Yeah.
So have, regularly
yeah,
given.
Yeah, they have not been regularly given by electors whose appointment has been so certified.
Right.
It says, in case there shall arise the question which of two or more of such state authorities determining.
That's the second objection.
Yeah.
So there's
two. The second one says, determining which electors have been appointed, as mentioned in Section 5 of this title, is the lawful tribunal of such state the votes regularly given of those electors. So basically what it's saying is, if the states did not lawfully select those electors, then the United States Congress can raise an objection, which you're a congressman,
right?
And you can demand either a recount, I assume, as a remedy? Or outright reject them?
They would be rejected in the count. So there's two reasons you can object, and they're in the law right there. You just read both of them.
Yeah.
One is the elector slates were not regularly given. So something in their election process back in the state was irregular.
Okay.
The other is you have two bodies of government from the state that may send you dueling.
You have two sets of electorates.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, so you got some that are saying President Trump.
And then we have to decide
which
one's which.
Yeah.
You know, which one are we going to take? And so if you You know, if you look at the very beginning of Title III USC 15, what that says, everything that we were doing on January 6th is in that statute. The fact that we met on January 6th, you know, we didn't just pick a date. It's in the law. We will meet at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even pick the time. The time is in the law. We will meet at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The way we meet in joint session. That's in the law. USC, 3 USC, subsection 15, says all those things. It says what you just read about the president of the Senate. Well, it's the vice president of the United States, president of the Senate, acting at that time, in joint session, must ask for objections. And then it goes
and
on.
There were objections raised.
Yeah. And there's a way that you have to present those objections. You can't just stand up and say, I object. They have to be in writing. You have to have, it has to be signed by a state House member, or I'm sorry, a U.S. House member. Has to be signed by a U.S. Senator. All of, and then it says that you'll, the Senate will go back to their body. We'll stay in ours, and we'll have 2 hours of debate. They will vote. We will vote.
And that
that process was going on when, you know,
the people came
into the Capitol unlawfully, and they need to be held accountable for that. Those that crashed into the Capitol need to be held accountable. I got no problem with that. But don't blame me for what those people did, because I'm following the Constitution. And in fact, almost surreal, Doug, that I signed on to an amicus brief to present this information that we just talked about to the United States Supreme Court with the Texas case, and 18 other states signed on. We're going through a legal process, and people are calling me a seditionist.
You guys are nuts. You were vilified.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
You were vilified. People were calling for your resignation.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're just tuning in to SWAT Radio, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And, you know, Congressman Rutherford, he's a SWAT guy. He's a believer. If you haven't heard his testimony from before, you can just go to the SWATradio.com website and put his name in, Congressman Rutherford. Go back and listen to his testimony, because I want to talk to him about other things, but it's fascinating. He was reading a Bible in a police car, and that's how God brought him into the kingdom. And yeah. But he is a brother in the Lord who is serving our country at one of the highest levels. And he has been vilified simply for raising legitimate constitutional concerns. And see, we have been so politically divided, Congressman, mm-hmm. that it's sad to me, because what y'all were doing, whether it was Senator Cruz or Senator Hawley, right. All of the people that had concerns were labeled as racist. They right. were labeled as people who were trying to illegitimize the election. That was not their intent. It was to make sure that it was
right.
gone about correctly, because, in fact, didn't in Pennsylvania, there were a lot of irregularities constitutionally with the state legislature.
Yeah, because and here's what happened in all six of the states that we were going to object to. Mm-hmm. The state legislatures had set down election laws, how they would regularly select, the manner that they would regularly select their electorates, and governors, secretaries of state, and judges changed it. But here's what I say about those that attack me.
Yeah.
I remind people, they crucify my Lord. All they do is talk bad about me. So I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, you
I'm
know,
okay.
Well, and to be quite honest with you, when you do what you do, and you
you're going to get attacked.
You do, and you experience this as sheriff too. I mean, like when right. you lead,
yep.
There, it's just sad to me that what you and the other congressmen and senators were trying to do, and we got to go to our first break, but y'all were trying to do what's right legislatively.
We were upholding the law.
And you were vilified for it. And that's one reason I'm happy to have you on today, because I want to ask you some about these processes, whether it's HR 1, 5, or 8. And talk to you about some of those and help our listeners understand so we know better how to pray for you, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, hey, you're listening to SWAT Radio. We're going to be right back with Congressman John Rutherford after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a ministry dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope and coming alongside those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share encouraging testimonies of transformed lives. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. You know, you may be wondering, hey, how... It's SWAT Radio is a spiritual a men's discipleship program about practical and relevant truth for God's word. What are you doing talking to a congressman on there? Well, this congressman is a brother in the Lord, and he has shared on here before his testimony, and he is serving our country. He has served our community. He was a sheriff here who oversaw one of the largest sheriff's departments in the country, and the biggest landmass county in the country. And he has served well, and I've known him a long time and appreciate his service, because I was telling him before we went on air, I said, I don't know how you do what you do up there. I could not do it, because it seems like a cesspool from here, just to be honest with you, Congressman. I know it's not. I know there's good people
there
up there,
good people.
But it's hard because everything gets so twisted in the media. Even you, I know you've been vilified, but I want to talk just for a second about something. I want to talk about the law enforcement in our country right now, because I know that's dear to you. You served as a sheriff. You served on the beat. You served on the ground and worked your way up and actually led this great department here. And tell me what you see from your perspective up there in D.C. going on with the police in this country right now.
Well, listen, Doug, I think this really plays to the whole movement within our country. And when you talk about the relevance of being here on a Christian station, I'm here to tell you, this battle going on in Washington, D.C. is not just flesh and blood. Folks, it's principalities. And if you don't believe that, you're missing half the battle. We have to approach this as a battle of principalities, because people are wanting to change our culture. They want to change our country. They want to change what we believe. And that is why Christian channels and what you're doing is so very important. It is a battle between good and evil. And I believe that. And one thing that I see going on right now, and if you read the book, The Thin Blue Line, and then you read Rules for Radicals, what you realize is what's going on today with law enforcement is a vilification to nullification, so that local law enforcement is no longer valid. We need a national law enforcement organization to run everything, because we can't have all of these different diverse agencies being run by sheriffs. You know, we have to have control. We need control. And so what they're trying to do is create this false narrative that local law enforcement is out of control and they need to step in and take over. That's where they're headed, because in the book, The Thin Blue Line, it finally falls down to you have the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And the thin blue line is the law enforcement in the middle. That's where the term comes from. Mm. And they want to control that law enforcement line in the middle, because it's not going to be in the middle. It's going to be protecting them, the haves, from the have-nots. And so the best way to do that is to defund the police, to demoralize the police, to abolish the police. And you've heard them.
That's their
abolish
goal.
ICE.
They're not even covert about it.
That is the goal. That is the goal. Now, and I'm going to tell you this. For folks that understand battles of principalities, I want you to go look at pictures of Baphomet. Baphomet. Baphomet is the goat head devil.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You've seen him with the pentagram and all that. Look at what's tattooed on his arms. What's tattooed on his forearms, on one side is Salve, the other side is Coagula. And this is exactly what's going on. The devil is working in this country, because Salve is to dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to destroy everything, ruin everything, defund the police, demoralize the police, abolish the police, and then rebuild it back, coagula, with like coagulation of your blood. So you coagulate back in the format that they desire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on with every institution in America.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to tear them down and build them back the way they want them in their socialist, Marxist ideology. And that's what we're fighting against. It's nothing less than that.
Well, and I think I told you last time, I spent the first 15 years in ministry going to Russia. And the problem is, most of the people that are advocating this have no idea what went on over in Russia.
Right.
They don't know what socialism
or
Venezuela or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, all the people
Venezuela.
All the people that think this is a great idea don't understand that tyranny is ultimately what's going to happen.
Right.
And when they have this national police force, they will enforce. It's like, you know, I'm watching this, and I mentioned this the other day, mask. You know, like, now you got people on airlines that basically can not just throw you off.
You
can
be fined
and be arrested. Yeah. Because you don't pull it up far enough. It's not even that you're not wearing it. I mean, they just don't like the way. This is insane, John.
Right, and listen to this, Doug. That's why I ask people, go back and think about last summer, okay? All the cities that were being burned and looted and robbed and, you know, just all the chaos that was going on. The one thing that they all had in common, every one of them was run by an appointed chief. Not chief of police. Yeah. Not one of them was run by an elected sheriff, because elected sheriffs work for the people. Now, you can have a bad sheriff too, don't get me wrong. But I'm here to tell you that would never have happened, not in a city that I was responsible for. And so we need to look at that as kind of a precursor to, you know, where this whole attack on law enforcement is going right now.
Mm-hmm.
They want all police to be appointed and run under this national banner, not local police that are under control of sheriffs and people that are elected by the people that have the right to take their civil rights away. You know, they can put you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up your right to elect that position.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day. I don't know if you saw this video, but there's a pastor up in Canada when the police came out to his place and he told him to get out.
Yeah.
He said to get out. Yep. And people go, well, no, you got to respect the police. You got to respect the law. You do. But, you know, you have rights in this country.
Right.
People can't just come into your place and take you out unless they have probable cause to believe
an arrest warrant
or probable cause that a crime has been committed.
Right.
And they can't just go into arbitrarily any house they want or any place.
Right.
And I was thinking about Paul when Paul asked the centurion, he said, hey, is it lawful for you to be beating somebody who's uncondemned? There's nothing wrong with us standing up
for
pushing back against that kind of a thing. And, you know, but I want to go back to you being in Congress. What can we do as private citizens out here to help you? How can we, other than pray, of course we want to pray for you, but how else can we be involved? And because sometimes you feel helpless to sit here and watch what's happening. How can we help?
Well, several things, Doug. I think first and foremost, people have to stand up for their rights and understand their rights. Number two, you've got to make sure that you are informing yourself with good information. You know, I look at all these bills, H.R. 1, H.R. 5, H.R. 8, all these bills, and I look at these titles that they put on them. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the titles on a bill mean absolutely nothing. Nothing. For example, the Equality Act. It's not about equality. It's about transgender boys going in the bathroom and in the shower with my granddaughters. That ain't happening.
Well,
that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. Girls having to compete for scholarships against transgender boys. That's not equality.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's what that says, right? That gives does it give them codified, protected legal status?
Oh, yes. And it takes away the religious freedom rights to object. So your religious freedom rights are basically done away with through this Equality Act.
Mm. So how
you can't object.
So would it be helpful then, should people write you and Senator Scott and Senator Rubio?
They should always, if I take a vote, I tell folks all the time, if I take a vote and you can't figure out why I voted that way, call me and let me tell you. For example, I'll give you the best one. Because everybody knows that I'm opposed to, or I support, not opposed, mm-hmm. I support background checks for firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. The background check bill is a Trojan horse. The bipartisan background check bill was really a Trojan horse. On the outside, it's a background check bill. But on the inside, it's a registration bill. And it was really actually going to create registrations of every firearm sale in America. Every new firearm sale that's already done, and every private sale.
Which is not done right.
Which is not done. And so, and look, the Brady campaign's already said, made very clear, you know, the last step before confiscation is registration.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what that bill was going to do, and I voted against it. And I had so many people reach out. Thankfully, they reached out and said, John, what? I thought you supported background checks. And I'm like, I do, but I do not support firearm registration.
Because the next step is confiscation.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's one of the founding father safeguards that they put in our Constitution, the right to bear arms.
That's right.
To prevent tyranny within. When we come back, we're going to jump into the voting bill, H.R. 1. Going on up in Georgia, people's perception
all
of
over
that
the country.
All over the country, and why that's important. Hey, you're listening to Congressman John Rutherford, one of our public servants here. He's been in service to our community for a long time. Lift him up in prayer, please. Pray for his wisdom, discernment. Pray for his family. And we're going to be right back with more with Congressman Rutherford on SWAT Radio after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
The number of new confirmed cases has breached 400,000 for the second time in that country. On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 181 points, but the NASDAQ is off 32. This is SRN News.
If you're a radio...
There's a few delays on the north side because of a crash on I-95 heading north at the ramp to Pecan Park Road. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on I-95 southbound before Emerson Street. And there's a disabled vehicle on the West Beltway 295 northbound at the west end of the Buckman Bridge. Mostly cloudy tonight. Expect a low 59. Friday, sunny and breezy. High 82.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Kurt Schneider. I'm a shaliach, or sent one, of Messiah Jesus. I want to share with you how the Hebrew Bible, or the Old Testament, and the New Testament that we call in Hebrew the Brit Chadashah, fit together like a hand in a glove to give you a brighter hope for today and confidence in your future for tomorrow.
Join Rabbi Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. on Discovering the Jewish Jesus, right here on WTRJ.
Sky traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight, touch down in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop, breathing the familiar shock of confusion.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary of His Light Ministries with my friend Congressman John Rutherford. Hey, listen, if you've got a question that you would like me to ask Congressman Rutherford, I can't guarantee it'll get on air, but if you send it to Doug@SWATradio.com, D-O-U-G at SWATradio.com, I'll try to get it on to him before we finish the program. We were talking right before we went to break, Congressman, about what people can do, because people feel helpless right now in a lot of ways. It feels like our world's kind of going a little bit out of control. Mm-hmm. And it starts in DC. I mean, like, just with crazy stuff, like people getting they're getting vaccines and yet we still have to wear the mask, and there's really no recourse to any of that stuff. Specifically, we were talking about some other things and you were sharing how we can be involved. Continue to elaborate on that, if you will. How can we who live here in Jacksonville, Florida, help you and help our Congress and our Senate and the leaders up there? Praying is important, and I don't want to say that's not important. It is. But what practically can we do as well?
Well, listen, the Lord works through us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are His hands here on earth. Not that He needs us. Yeah. I mean, He could.
But
do
He chooses
it,
to.
But
use
But He chooses to use us, and so one thing that I would remind people, some of the biggest challenges that we have right now is over 40% of Gen Z believe that socialism is better than capitalism. The millennials is even higher. So. We need to understand that our schools have been taken over. Mm-hmm. Go read books like Rules for Radicals and look at the moves in that book that have to take place for a society to be socialized. And you'll see, nationalizing the police, high taxes, take over the health care, take over the family. Now you've got the family, the American Family Act that Biden's proposing. That whole thing is to take over the rearing of children and the indoctrination of children, not the education of children, but the indoctrination. And so we need to be paying attention to our school boards. We've got to get involved in what our children are being taught, how they're being taught, what they're being taught. And then in addition to that, people have to get back involved in their local politics. Their local, because that's what feeds Washington, D.C.
Yeah, go run for the school board.
Run for these local party offices. Get involved in your local party. Dean Black for the Republican Party is doing an amazing job bringing that back together because, quite frankly, it I don't think it was hitting on all cylinders like it should have been. He's doing a great job with that. We need to be sure that we maintain closed primaries. I don't want Democrats determining who's going to be the winner of a Republican primary.
Okay, yeah, explain that real quick for people who may not understand what you're talking about.
You need to have where only Republicans can vote for Republicans in the primary. Now, these jungle, they call them jungle primaries where it's open and anybody can vote for anybody. What you can have is people voting across party lines to minimize the effectiveness of the other party. That's not a good place to be. You want closed primaries where people are responsible to their party and their party ideas. And then you have your runoff in the general election. That's the way it should be. I don't want Democrats deciding who is going to represent Republicans in the runoff.
Well, you represent Florida.
Now, Florida's got that, we're okay.
You represent Florida up in Washington, D.C. as a U.S. congressman. As you look at your state, all right, we are getting a lot of people coming down from up north.
We are.
Because, and this is the thing that that is interesting to me. People come from up north because they're getting away from bad leadership.
Right.
But then they come down here and they vote bad leadership. they have very liberal views, and I don't understand the mentality there. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about election laws.
You might be a little surprised that the folks that are coming down, at least the early ones coming down, most of them are the more conservative.
Are they?
Actually, because they're getting out early. But I was speaking to a group at the beach, and it's all newcomers. Yeah. You know, they've been here less. I think the rule was you had to be here less than 5 years. And I had a great meeting with them. A lot of good folks, all from, you know, mainly up north. And I jokingly told them, I said, you know, by a show of hands, how many of you moved to Florida because we don't have a state individual income tax, you know, and just about every hand in the place went up. And I was half joking. I said, now listen, don't come down here and vote the way you did up there.
Yeah,
you know, you'll wind up with the same thing here.
We'll end up getting the same thing.
Yeah. But everybody laughed, and we had a good. But it's true, like exactly what you said. Don't come down here and vote the same way you did up there, expecting a different outcome.
Yeah, it's going to be the same. So talk a little bit about HR1 for people out there who hear about HR1. Tell people the reality. You've seen the bill, right? You know what's in it.
Yes.
Tell people what is actually in that bill.
Listen, and again, it goes back to the titles on bills, for the people. This is not for the people. This is for the politicians. First of all, this bill basically nationalizes state elections. It takes control away from states. The state of Florida requires voter identification. They would no longer be able to do that because this law supersedes state law and says you can't ask to have voter ID. You can't have a law that says you can't do mail-in ballots. You know, not absentee, but any mail-in. If AOC or, well, I don't want to talk about her. If a politician raises $200, it gets matched with $1,200 from or $1,400 from the Treasury.
Wait a minute. So where are we getting that money from?
From you, from the taxpayers. That's why I say this is for the people. I don't think so. This is for the politicians.
Yeah.
All I got to do is raise $200, then I'm gonna get $1,200 from you for my $1,400.
Wow. And like
it's ridiculous.
Like we have money to give. Well, I want you made a statement about the voter ID. I don't understand why people have such a problem with voter ID, because you have to have an ID to get medicine at Target.
You
got to have an ID for everything. So why is there, have you been able to find out why there's such a backlash against voter ID?
Yes. And I think it's because the people that push back against voter ID, knowing how easy it is to get one, I question whether they really want a high integrity voting process.
Mm-hmm.
I think they want to allow people to vote that shouldn't be voting, that don't have ID.
Like in
we
Nevada,
don't know who they
like,
are.
Like when dead people vote.
We don't know who they are. So all that does is increase the integrity of the vote. It doesn't suppress the vote.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is make sure that every vote counts, which, you know, I think everybody should want that.
Well, I don't
want my vote being offset by a dead person.
I don't either.
An illegal alien.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, some did vote in the last
election. Absolutely do.
And so, and you know, you and I were talking earlier, and if we don't repair it, and what Georgia did was they said, we had some problems and we want to make sure we don't have those same problems again. And now in Major League Baseball, you know, they left because people said, you know, you can't do this. So I want to go to
Ben. Went to a state that had tougher election laws than the ones that they were fleeing from.
Well, that's what's so crazy about it. So what are we doing at a congressional level and a Senate level about Twitter, Facebook, and, you know, other, you know, when you were on this program, less than a year ago, I tried to advertise your interview after the fact. It was a good program and I wanted to share it. And I was denied access by Facebook because it was too political. And we didn't even talk about politics hardly on the thing at all. We talked about just your testimony. So what are we doing to prevent stuff like just happened to Stefanik?
We just had in our conference down in Orlando a task force sit down. Well, it wasn't the task force. We sat down to talk about and put together a task force that's going to look at big tech. I believe what we need to do is, number one, we need to use some antitrust laws. They've gotten way too big.
Mm-hmm.
They control too much of their portion of the economy and others.
Amazon can ruin anybody.
Anybody. And so what I think we need to do with Facebook and these search engines, Google, others, big tech, what we need to look at is running them as a utility. We need to do them. We need to treat them the same way we did Ma Bell,
which would mean they would come under your regulation.
They would come under regulation. We would bust them up. They can't be that big. Create some competition again, so that we don't have. Look, it's scary when they can come in and shut down Parler because they don't like their speech, and they destroy a $1 billion business overnight. That's scary. They can shut out anybody's voice. The former president, the story about Biden,
Hunter Biden.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was the Iron Curtain coming down in America. We have to push back on that. What's always made America free is Article One. You know, we have free speech. We have free the right to our practice our religion. And look, if they can start constraining these rights, what you can say, like your rights to talk about transgenders and that all goes away with this Equality Act.
Yeah, and we'll pick back up. We got to go to our last break, but I want to come back to it because I want to tell you about something that happened with a vaccine and a doctor that I posted that they put out was a lie. They just put says false information. And that needs to stop. But anyway, hey, you're listening to SWAT Radio. I'm talking to Congressman John Rutherford. We got one more segment. If you have a question, send it to Doug at SWATradio.com. That's D-O-U-G at SWATradio.com. We'll be right back with our last segment on SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I'll never win this war. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary of His Light Ministries with Congressman John Rutherford. And again, I know you're getting a call here because I appreciate you being here. I know you're busy. You got a lot of stuff going on in our country. And we're talking to Congressman Rutherford about how we can pray for him. I hope that as you're listening to this, you will know how to better pray for him. He said earlier, it is a battle of principalities. You know, our theme verse is 2 Corinthians 10:4. Which the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. We have got to go to our knees and pray for our leaders and pray for wisdom for them. Because, you know, when he talks about them changing our country, we were a country based on Judeo-Christian values. Our country is what it is because our founding fathers put in place things that they felt endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights that they wanted to convey to the people and make sure those rights weren't squandered or taken away. They did not want tyranny. And what he's talking about is a change to where there is tyranny and there won't be this freedom to go help other countries in the world. Because all the other countries that get in need, you know who the first person they look to is the United States. And all that's going to change because we are radically changing quickly. And I was sharing with Congressman Rutherford before the, get into a preaching mode, Congressman.
That's all right.
But I was sharing with you earlier that when people are being, we've gone through a sexual revolution in the 60s, and some people believe that's the greatest revolution that's impacted our country, greater than the Industrial Revolution, greater than the American Revolution, that the sexual revolution has now brought us to a place where a man who is born and created by God as a biological male can make a pronouncement that, no, I am a female, and the world around has to accept that reality and not only accept it, they've got to affirm it. And that's different. You know, and this law, this Equality Act, would make it codified for us to affirm it. So how can we push back against that as believers? We pray, but how practically can we be involved to push back?
Well, look, I I think we have a responsibility to push back on this every opportunity we get, whether it's at the local level, at the national level. Look, so, some of these folks that you know, you see, they're coming out and they want these companies want to come out and back. For example, there's 400 corporations that have gotten behind the Equality Act.
I bet Delta Airlines is probably one of them.
American Airlines, Coca-Cola. I mean, you can go look at the list. And the reason they're doing that, Doug, is because they hear from their constituents that use their products. They need to be hearing from the rest of us that use their products.
Because a lot of times the Christians don't make their voices known
right.
that way.
If they want to get into business... If they want to get into the business of politics, we need to get them into the business of politics, but they need to hear from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That's what aggravates me. And now, and I guarantee you, after having said this on your show, you're going to hear so many people say, oh, yeah, now they want to boycott. Now the Republicans want to boycott when they said all along, nope, you shouldn't do that. Boycott, disinvestment, sanctioning, shouldn't do all that, BDS. No, I agree with that. But companies that want to step out and put their voice out there and get behind one side or the other, then they need to hear from the other side.
Well, you know, I said this. I told my wife, we went to a place here in Jacksonville after Mayor Curry had lifted the mandate for the mask. Mm-hmm. He had a mandate in place for a while, and it was the law there that wear it.
Right.
Well, he lifted it. But we went into a restaurant, and a restaurant said, no, you got to wear a mask here, but you don't have to wear one when you sit down, which is 3 feet away from where we order.
Yeah.
And I said, isn't that being ridiculous? I'm not going to do that, and I can't serve you. So I told my wife, okay, we'll take our business elsewhere. With the manager come running over to find out what was going on,
right.
and he looked upset, and he should be. Because that's how you vote in this country.
That's right.
You vote with your
feet.
You vote with your feet.
And your dollars.
Yeah. If you go to a place and you say to them, you go in and you see some all this trans stuff or all this stuff saying stuff that is really offensive to you as a believer, you should say, hey, why don't you support Christian rights?
Yeah.
Why do you have you don't have that in here. And you say, you know what? We think we'll take our business elsewhere. Because that's how you vote in this country. People listen when money talks. It's just the practical way that you let people know. But if enough people start letting their voices be known, then I agree. I think. But the problem is a lot of Christians don't do it. They're afraid of being divisive.
Yeah.
And it's not being divisive to stand up for truth.
No, it's not. But certainly the disciples and the apostles didn't believe that either.
Yeah,
they stood up. They stood up and they died for their beliefs. That's why I jokingly tell people, hey, all they do is talk bad about me. When I stand up for the truth.
Well, you won't. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I heard you say these, so I feel like I can say them.
Okay.
Because I know you probably won't say this, but I mean, you might. But I just want people to know that we have a man serving up in Washington who will not bow to the culture. And I've had conversations with him about all these issues, and we need to pray for our brother. And Congressman Rutherford is the kind of guy we need to support, because he's not going to bow to the culture on the LGBTQ. He's not going to bow to the culture on other things that are going to be harmful to us as believers. And one of the reasons I like having him on the program is so you can hear from him, you can pray for him, because he needs your prayer. We need to be like Aaron and her, holding up the hands of Moses so that our brother can go up there and can represent us, because we live in a representative society where we get to elect. A lot of countries don't have this benefit.
Right.
And I think we take it for granted, Congressman, sometimes.
Well, and look, let me make this clear, too. I don't want anybody to be discriminated against, but don't discriminate against me either, because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
If by that discrimination, force me to accept things or say things that don't square with my faith, you know? And so,
can I push back on you a little bit? Because don't we discriminate every day? I mean, we make discriminating choices every day. It's what we deem appropriate or not. And I think for me, the issue is, nobody should be discriminated against because of their skin color. That is a God ordained thing that people get from God. It's the way He made them. When you talk about an LGBTQ person,
these are choices.
Right. These are behavioral choices or identification choices.
Right.
And those things are not like skin color. They try to make it like that.
Yep.
And so to me, do you discriminate against a murderer? Yes. A murderer doesn't have the same rights as everybody else. Why?
Based on what he does.
Exactly. Right. And God's word says that these things go against my design and they're an abomination to me. And as believers, I think we have failed to adequately speak truthfully to these things. And we, like you said earlier, we put our children and our grandchildren at risk because we're not being like Ezekiel. We're not standing on the wall.
We're not pushing back.
Yeah, and we're not. And so I say that respectfully to you just to say, I don't mind being discriminatory against things that need to be discriminated against.
Well, I think it's a little different when you talk about in the legal world.
Well, that's true, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm never going to admit or sanction what they do. I'm never going to say that you're right. You have a right to be, whatever you want to be. That is like we were joking earlier, you know. I don't, you know, when I was 50 years old, I didn't have the right to say I'm now 60. I want to be viewed as 65 so I can get Social Security and
everybody would laugh you right out of the office.
Yeah, are you crazy? Yeah, no. If my 15-year-old granddaughter said that she was, she wants to identify as 21 so she can drink, no, that doesn't work. And so you are what you are.
I can't identify as an NFL player either. Much as I'd like to be one.
Yeah.
Well, listen, our time has come to an end. And I just, as we go out again, how can people get in touch with you if they want to ask a question or?
Listen, go to our website, rutherford.house.gov, rutherford.house.gov. And if you ever have a question about why I took a vote a particular way, call us, let us know. I'll get back to you. That's really the best way to communicate with us. Or come see me in the office over on Salisbury Road.
Yeah.
I love to sit down and chat with folks.
Well, thank you for giving us some time today. Thank you for serving up there. I just encourage you, if you want to go back and listen to this program in its entirety, you can go to swatradio.com, swatradio.com, and just click on the past programs link and listen to it. It should be posted here within an hour. We probably will not be able to share it via Facebook and our social media because it'll have his name in it. And they have just been really hard to get that out there. But hopefully we'll change that, right, Congressman?
All right. Hey, we're working on it.
Yeah. Hey, keep him lifted up in your prayers. Tomorrow, Taylor and I will be back. We're going to talk about some of these things that we talked about today. And you can feel free to join us. Hey, thanks for listening to SWAT Radio, keeping us on the air. We'll be back tomorrow with more of SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to swatradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online